Good morning, and as you can see, we're all quietly sat in our places, ready for the start of the service this morning. it's not like this at the Methodists, is it, Rosie? Hello, everybody. We have been recorded, so behave yourselves. Great to have you with us this morning. Welcome from the croak master himself, Jonathan Dunning. I'll try and get through this morning. My voice is a little bit ropey. It's good to have you with us, and it's lovely that you're still able to talk to each other and ignore me. It's just I've been used to this for the last 30 years. Who cares? We're going to start by reading some scripture together. So we're going to start by reading part of Romans. This is a wonderful passage of scripture, but it reminds us of the presence of God and the grace of God and the love of God for us. And, you know, if you're feeling a bit down or a bit ropey this morning, remind yourselves of these words, that God is the one who is a present help in times of trouble, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us, the one who goes beyond what we deserve in our lives, the God of grace, the God of love, and he's here among us today. So if you'd like to stand, please feel free to join me, and we're going to say these words together from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That deserves it. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the truth of your words. Thank you that you're the God who graciously gives us all things. Thank you for our salvation, which is secure in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we recognize that at times all these things that Paul talked about do come against us, but nothing can separate us from you. And Lord, we pray that we this morning would rejoice in your goodness and your grace and your love towards us. Lord, speak to us. Lord, move among us. Lord, we know you're present here. May we be aware of your presence among us. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Morning, everybody.
When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand.
Light the fire again.
again. Don't let my vision die. I'm calling out, light the fire again. You know my heart, my deeds. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I need your discipline. I'm calling out, light the fire again. I am here to buy gold, refined in the fire. Naked and poor, wretched and blind, I come, clothe me in white, so I won't be ashamed. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire again. Lord, light the fire again.
I really sensed as we were singing that song that for some people here, and it sounds like a general thing, but actually feels like some people have been raining on your parade. You've been dampened by circumstances or life has been has thrown against you. And, you know, it's almost as if the fire's been sort of put out or it's just smouldering because of, it's specific, this, because of something that somebody's done or said or a circumstance that has prevented you from what you've sensed God was asking you to do with your life. I think God is saying to you today, come to me. My hope is eternal. My hope goes beyond your circumstances. My calling is not frustrated by the plans of man. Come to me. Allow my word and my life to once again bring to life in you what God is asking you to do. Amen. Do you have another song or anything? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There'll be opportunity perhaps for prayer at the end of the service for anyone who felt that was for them.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. Thank you, Jesus. And we can see that God, you're moving. Mighty river through the nations, and young and old will turn to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy, dancers that dance upon injustice. Do you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song? And all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And here we see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is come, when young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play. Down with singing. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy, dancers that dance upon injustice. Open up the doors. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy, dancers that dance upon injustice. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy, dancers that dance upon injustice.
I wonder if we can all just raise our voices in prayer for our sins.
Proclaiming that the word of God, the truth of God and the good news of God will once again flow out from those believers who trust you. Wherever you come from now, just start to prophesy and pray over our city, over this area, over this estate. God, come. Come in power, Lord. Come in your presence, Lord. Come in majesty. Lord, we pray that you would come in the power of your spirit, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come with your hope, Lord. Come with your love. Come with your justice. Lord, come with your healing. Come with your deliverance, Lord. Move by the power of your spirit, we pray. Out of our buildings, Lord, onto the streets. Out of our buildings, Lord, into the city. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we can see that, God, you're moving. And Lord, we want to pray for that mighty river to flow. Once again, Lord, there's so many prophetic people talking about a move of God. Lord, we want to see it in our day and in our generation. Lord, we don't presume upon you, but we ask you, Lord, because we just don't want to go through church through emotions. We want to be a people equipped and empowered by your spirit to reach this land. Lord, move among us. Move in our lives, Lord. Don't let our hearts grow cold. Light the fire again in our lives, Lord. And Lord, then move upon us and use us, Lord, to reach this people for you. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. If you're a visitor, welcome. It might not be like this in your church, but it's like it here, so that's great. Just got some notices to give you, and then Chris is going to come and share something. I don't think he can hear me, but he'll... Anyway, first of all, to say welcome to visitors. We've got a few of you in today, and it's lovely to have you with us. There is a visitor's packet in the foyer, which is a kind of grey leaflet. I haven't got one in front of me at the moment, I'm sorry. But in there, there's also a little sort of card that you can fill in with your details if you want to keep in touch with what we're doing here as a church. And it would be great if you could do that. I've got to say, happy Mother's Day to at least some of you. I know, Howard, it's not you. I know. Never mind. Thank you for mothers and all that you've put into us and all you've put into our kids in our church and as they've grown up. We're very, very grateful. Have a great day. Just to say that after the service today, if you want to see what was the John Thorpe pub, which is now called 146, there's a story behind that, but I haven't got time to tell you it today. This other building that we bought through the grace of God, then it's open straight after the service, or it will be open after the service for you to go and have a look round. So please, please avail yourself of that and be excited by a vision to reach this community. I believe there's a new alarm and shutters fitted, but they should be sorted out by today. The missions offering last week, which was for Seeker, the mission that Erica and Nick, or Nick and Erica, I put both of them actually, helped to establish, came to £1,003.31. So thank you very much for those who contributed to that. A reminder that after the service on the 16th of April, there'll be a lunch where people who are new to the church can find out more about us, find out why we're so wacky and why we do things in the way we do. You're very welcome to stay. Lunch is free. Hope you can put it in your diaries and be with us. 4 o'clock this afternoon, there's the 4 o'clock service happening here. We've got a new guitarist arrived. Are you ready? Oh, he's ready. He's getting ready. So at 4 o'clock this afternoon, there'll be a service here. And then at 7 o'clock this evening in Unit 2, our other little building around the corner, there is a prayer meeting praying for the church. Chris, you've got something to share with us, haven't you?
I hate to see such a packed church. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to say. I want just to say a few words about a small group called 60 Minutes on a Monday Morning, or 60 MMM for short. And it meets on Mondays.
Monday morning.
in the morning, and the meeting lasts for an hour. Yeah, so you got that. And we pray together, we break bread together, and we're studying the Bible together, and we're just launching on a new series looking at the Psalms. So we'll be doing that together for 60 minutes on a Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And we were meeting on Zoom, but we're now meeting in person. So that's the big change. We've got face-to-face meetings. Normally it'll be in our house, which is at the kind of wood seats end of Abbey Lane. But it's open to anybody who wants to come. If that appeals to you, have a word with me or one of the other regulars. I'm looking around. Well, there's Johnny for one. Who else? There's Anne there. Mike.
Another Mike.
And at the back, another Mike. Heather. Is Richard here? Richard's not here. All right, okay. So,
this is the best response we've ever had.
So if you'd like to join, have a word with one of us. We've got a WhatsApp group that kind of gives details of the next meeting, but you'd be very welcome to join us. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Just before we take up the offering and the kids...
And the youth and the under-fives go to their sessions. We're going to do some praying today. And we don't often pray enough in our services on a Sunday morning. I know we have other services, but I think it's really important that we do. It's one of the reasons why people meet together, the church meets together to pray. And we like to sing, which is a time of worship, obviously, to God. It's talking to God. It's telling him how much we love him. We like to listen to God's word. But it's also good to bring our requests before him. So let's do that now. Father, first of all, we want to pray for those people that we serve overseas and who we work with overseas. We pray for Roland as he goes out to India this week. We pray that you would equip him for all that he's going to do with Solomon in particular, who we support, and also the Jainaga Trust. Lord, may this be a fruitful trip for him. For Graham and Steph, I want us to pray for Graham and Steph. They've had some real challenges in the mission at Sachi Bondu at the moment. Graham and Steph Reed. And Lord, we want to pray right now that you might be at work in their lives and through them in that situation in Zambia. Lord, be all that they need. Give them wisdom. Give them peace in a challenging, confrontational situation they find themselves in. In Jesus' name. I want to think about South Africa today, suffering from drought. Malawi suffering from massive floods. Other countries in the world like Ukraine and Afghanistan, where we've had ongoing prayers for. But perhaps there's a country on your mind and heart at the moment you want to pray for. Let's bring those places to God. Lord Jesus. For your people in Malawi, struggling at the moment, have mercy. For your people in South Africa, struggling at the moment, Lord, have mercy. For people in Ukraine, we pray for those kids that have been taken to Russia. Lord, have mercy. Pray for your church struggling on in Afghanistan. Lord, have mercy. Just also praying pastorally. We've prayed in a sense for God to move in our city already, but I want us to pray for those needs that we know of in our own lives. Perhaps there's friends or family that you want to bring before God in the silence now, or it's not that silent, but just mention before God. But also we want to pray for Toby's dad, Ben, who's been taken back into hospital last night after a major operation. Father, we want to pray in Jesus' name for that man this morning. I want to pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would be at work in his life. Lord, bring healing and help to him in this situation, we pray. And others who we now in our minds mention before you, who we know need your prayer. People who are physically ill. People who are struggling with depression or mental illness. People who are just downcast because of circumstances and really struggling in their faith as a result. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of hope that we've heard today. And I want to pray that in all these circumstances that we've brought before you, Lord, be at work. Be Lord. Be their helper. Be their strength. Be their deliverer. May they know that God is for them and that nothing can separate them from your love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, we're going to take up the offering now and then the kids are going to leave us. Thank you. Are you ready?
Still we are a voice in the desert.
crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Sing verse 2. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in the vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all pain. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all pain. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all pain. purpose remains the art of losing myself in bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all names. Heart of my soul, give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all things, and the cry of my heart is to
of our heart be to give you praise. Oh, come. Hiana morosto ra barashtika kara burosto. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Just allow God to meet with you now. He's here. Just need to open your life up to Him. You don't have to be worthy. You don't have to be good. You have to be open and willing and say yes, if you like, to Him. Lord, come. Come, Lord. Change our hearts. Change us from the inside out, Lord, so that our motivation is not just doing, but it comes from a passion and a love for you. Change our hearts. A responsive heart to your word and to your will, Lord. A heart that's on fire. A heart that's burning within us. Lord, come. John Wesley talked about his heart being strangely warmed by God's Spirit. Jesus, come among us. Lord, cry out to you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
Just as we reflect on what we've sung and prayed about this morning so far, the next song I want to sing is in response to something we talked about at house group on Thursday night, and actually something Jonathan's already prayed about, and that is all the hurt that's in the world today. We talked this morning and prayed about Malawi and Sudan and Ukraine and so many places in the world, and this song kind of speaks into that, but it also speaks into us as well, into our hearts, if we're struggling. So it's called In a Dying, Hurting World. Some of you will know it.
In a dying, hurting world, there's a light that shines for all to see. Though the sky may turn to grey, broken hearts begin to fade away. Your love shines through. Stop now. You're the light. justice flow like we have never known. Give us courage, give us faith, faith for miracles we long to see. Deaf will hear you, the blind will see.
Jesus, just shine in our hearts, Lord. Shine in the dark place of this city. Shine in the dark place of this world, Lord. Lord, give us faith. Give us courage to step out, Lord, of our own boxes, Lord, to make a difference on these estates, in this city, in this world, Lord. Lord, I also want to call out and thank you for all the great work that goes out of MCF, Lord. Lord, will you bless it even more? All those people who are working abroad trying to make a difference. All the people who are working here on these estates, in relationships, in families, in friendship groups, Father. Just give us more courage, more faith, we pray. Amen.
Arise, shine.
For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
I believe the Lord gave me a vision earlier, and it seemed to tie in with what Jonathan said about someone
having been talked to, and so it's not settling well with them, and it's causing problems. And this is, I believe, a word for the people that feel on the edge today.
Jesus.
As a church, we're moving on very quickly. The Lord's really moving in this place, and there's a lot happening. And when that happens, there's always people on the edge.
Yeah.
And we want to be united. We don't want to lose anyone. Everyone's valuable.
Yeah.
And everyone's is needed in this church.
Yeah.
And he showed me this walkway above this area. And I felt he was saying that there's people on it looking down, desperately wanting to be a part. But they're feeling that the church has moved on so quickly that they can't catch up. And I believe God is saying to you, and especially if you're in today and you're feeling that everyone's full of the Lord and you're not quite there, I believe that God is saying, take your eyes off people, fix them on God. Just relax in God and focus on Him.
Thank you.
And you will just join in with those other people, because we don't want to lose anyone. And if you feel like that, please speak with someone before you go home today. I feel it's so important.
David, will you pray? Will you pray for us on that point? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you just care so much
Lord.
For every single person in this room. Lord, you want us as a church to move forward, to support these communities, to show Jesus throughout.
Jesus.
And Lord, everyone is so valued in your presence. So Lord, I pray that anyone on the edge, Lord, will just be moved by you into people's lives, to get people around them. Just help them to come into the centre of the church, not feel on the edge. Get off that walkway, Lord, and come into the centre where we can just all worship you together and be a part of your great kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, David. That's all, just leave it. I know Phil's got a word, so doesn't he always have a word? But just a reminder, actually, that God is speaking to us in this way. Ian Banner, 2 weeks ago, was basically up here and felt very strongly that God was saying that everyone is needed. Every person is needed. I think it's a responsibility of us as leadership, serious head on for a second, to actually help you to find that sense of belonging among us. But it's also expedient on all of us to help people feel as though they belong. We want a sense of, you know, cohesion and a sense of, very long words, a sense of togetherness in what God is doing among us here. There's some special things happening. And, you know, if you are part of it, you would find that actually Sunday morning is only a small part of what God is doing in this place during the week. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when Jonathan mentioned water, I thought, I need to share this. I've had it about a couple of weeks. I had a dream, and it was, I'm in our house, and what I'm doing, I've got a watering can. And I'm pouring it down the sink, but it's just filling up. Pouring it down the sink, it's filling up. Pouring it down the toilet, all filling up. And I'm shouting, there's something up here, everything's blocked up. And all of a sudden, there's waves of water sort coming. It's coming into the house, wave after wave. And I'm thinking, it's flooding because there's no way for water to go because everything's blocked up. So what I did a runner outside just to see what was happening, and I climbed this hill just to see I couldn't see anything happening. And I'm surrounded by all these Alsatian dogs. And then all of a sudden, the Alsatian dogs started running back to house. And I think, the drains have been unblocked. Safe to go back. So I goes back, and that was more or less the end of the dream. But what I'm thinking is, God has already spoke to us today. Some of us, the waves that are coming of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, and it's coming. It's a bit like Dave was saying, some of us are blocked and we can't receive it. And what I was thinking, right, I'm going to make sure I'm going to receive it. I'm going to drill out all these sinks and the toilet. I haven't told Ange yet. I'm going to make them bigger. I'm going to make them bigger because I want to receive more of Jesus and his love and the power of the Holy Spirit. God is pouring it out, and sometimes we don't want it. It's risky. But I'm just encouraging you, just really be open to open your drains up, let the Lord come in.
Yeah, amen. Bless you.
When the other brother, I do not know your name, you were sharing, David, when David was sharing, I had a picture of someone share, picture that was shared to me many years ago, but it also was connected to my conversation with Zoe this morning. Zoe was saying, we were talking about going to Peak District. And she went, oh, why do we need to go to church? And it's like, well, that's a good question. Why do we need to go to church? Like, what is the reasons? Why do we go? We don't go there because people will notice we are not there. We don't go there because it's just that's what we do on Sunday. Why do we do it? Yeah? Why do we do it? And I was giving her many, 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 many good reasons. And then and then I said, but the most important reason is because God, Jesus told us to do it. And he knows what is good for us. He knows that this is the best for us. And that's why if we will obey it, it actually will be good for us. And when David was sharing, the picture that came to my mind was, you know, when these gazelles or zebras, as they run, and the lions or, I do not know, other predators going after them. They don't go for a strong one, right? They make them run. And they go for those who are young and who are weak. And they attack them. And all of us, we can be in a vulnerable place. All of us can be in a place when we think, oh, I'm the worst person in the world. Why Jesus loves me? I don't deserve this. I'm a bad Christian. I'm just a fake. I'm just whatever. Yeah? Satan attacks us. And there is a power being us together as the body of Christ. There is a power when we come and worship together, when we declare the truth, when we hear testimonies, when we say blessing from the Bible and we speak into each other's life. There is a power when we stand together as a herd. And we need to look after those who are weak. It's just like, oh, come on. Come to me. And just make time to meet up with people, ask how are you doing, give them 5-10 minutes and say, how is your life? Check with them 1 week later or during the week. Pray for those, even if you didn't talk to them, but pray for them. But I'm so glad that all of us, we are here. And I hope, yeah. Anyways, this image, it was very strong. I hope you're blessed.
Chris, and Anne, is Anne coming to read? It's the normal practice. Father, we pray as Chris and Anne come now that you would speak to us through the words that you've given them to share. Lord, continue to help us to remember those things that you've already spoken into our lives. Build that sense of hope and faith in what you want to do in our lives, Lord. And we lean heavily upon you. We need you, Jesus. Speak to us now. In your precious name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, and it is forever and ever. Amen.
So I want to talk this morning about forgiveness in practice. So not forgiveness in theory, but forgiveness as it applies to the actual things that you and I need forgiveness for. and the actual things that we need to forgive in other people. And as that quote there says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. And I think forgiveness is often more tricky in practice than we realize. You know, on a sunny day when we're feeling good about ourselves and good about other people, it's easy to say we believe in forgiveness. But there are other days too when it's a lot harder. And the way I'm going to do it is a little bit different. I'm going to have some kind of quotes of things that you might sometimes catch yourself saying about forgiveness, or you might hear somebody else saying about forgiveness, and I want to kind of examine that. The other thing you'll notice is that Anne didn't kind of do a normal reading, and that's because the kind of leading text for forgiveness is in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And it's interesting how Jesus connects the two things, and we'll be looking at that, you know, the connection between the forgiveness we receive and the forgiveness we're called on to offer to others. Right. So the first thing that we might catch ourselves saying if we're not careful or hear somebody else saying is, I forgive X, but I'll never forget. And that is the kind of thing that some people will say. Now, I guess the first thing is that it is kind of true that we don't control what we forget and what we remember. I frequently forget things I ought to remember, and sometimes remember things I would rather forget. So, you know, if somebody comes to you after the service and says, I'm going to tell you a secret, but you have to promise to forget it. If you're being honest, you'd have to say, well, I don't think I can promise that because I can't control that. So if all I mean is I'll forgive X, but I'm not, you know, I can't guarantee I'm going to forget this, then that's probably just logical. But the thing is, you know, that's not how God deals with us. Because God's promise to us is both to forgive and to forget. And that's in, you'll find that in Hebrews 8:12 and in several other places in the Bible. So God's promise to us is in fact to forget as well as to forgive. And thirdly, it seems to me that people who say, I forgive X, but I'll never forget, are really saying, I intend never to forget. In other words, I'm going to hang on to this and not forget it. There's a line in a Robert Burns poem that I like about a wife nursing her wrath to keep it warm. And I think that's maybe a sense of what is often behind this statement is, you know, I intend to hang on to this. And if that's where we are, then the first bit is a lie. Because hanging on to something, choosing to hang on to something, is not forgiveness. So we are lying if we say that. Next one. Time for a spot of C.S. Lewis, I think. Actually, we've had some already. His was the quote on the first page. Remember the condition on which we are promised forgiveness. We shall always be forgiven, provided that we forgive all who sin against us. If we do that, we have nothing to fear. If we don't, all else will be in vain. So those are kind of hard words, aren't they? There's a promise in there, but there's also a deep warning, and I think that is appropriate. So what do you say to somebody who says, I will not forgive? How about, in that case, I hope you don't sin? Because it's a terrible thing to say, I will never forgive. I can never forgive X for what he did to me. Surely you're not suggesting that God won't forgive me if I don't forgive X. Well, first thing to say is it doesn't matter what I'm suggesting. It doesn't, in fact, matter what anybody says at the front of a church in terms of their suggestion. What matters is what does Jesus say? What does Jesus have to say about this? And this is immediately after the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Couldn't be clearer. No exceptions. absolutely clear. And, you know, there have been kind of moments when I've been on the edges of disputes between Christians, and sometimes it's felt that there wasn't much forgiveness. And I remember thinking, have you no fear? Have you no fear? Terrible thing to say that we will not forgive someone. Father, if I hadn't been so tired and stressed, I would have never have reacted the way I did. Forgive me. I'm sure we've often said something like that. But the thing is, are we asking for forgiveness or to be excused? And those are quite different things. Because if we're asking to be excused, we're really saying that, you know, in the light of all the circumstances, I'm not really to blame for this. That's what we're saying when we're asking to be excused. And of course, if that's right, if we're really not to blame, then there's nothing to forgive. If, however, I am acknowledging that I am in the wrong, then what I need is forgiveness, not excusing. So this is a confused statement. I think the other thing to notice about this is that God knows everything, and he is completely fair. So there never was a question of God blaming you for something that isn't your fault. Could never happen. God knows the situation from beginning to end. He knows all the circumstances, and he's absolutely fair. So there never was even the tiniest risk that you would be blamed for something that isn't your fault. So let's not waste God's time and our time on bringing him our excuses. Because actually it doesn't arise. There's no need for them. God does that. A good, loving, and all-knowing God has already taken all the excuses. So let's not bother about the excuses. The thing we need to bring to God is the bit left over. You know, the bit that the excuses don't cover. The inexcusable bit. That's what we need forgiveness for. And you know, the other thing is, I think our excuses are very often not nearly as good as we think they are. Last year, we had a bit of a rat problem in the garden. And there were some rats getting into our compost bin. And if you're in the garden and you were making a lot of noise and you went over to the compost bin and carefully lifted the lid, there was never any sign of a rat. But if you crept up quietly and lifted the lid sharply, then you could catch a glimpse of the rat. But the thing is, you know, lifting the lid quickly wasn't the thing that caused the rat to be there. The rat was there all along. Lifting the lid quickly was the thing that enabled you to spot the rat. And this excuse is very much like that, you know. Yeah, it possibly is true. If I hadn't been tired and stressed, I would have kept the rats hidden. I would have behaved better. But the rat would have been there all along. And the thing we need forgiveness for are the rats in our life. That's what we need forgiveness for. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. That's really good. And God does forgive what's inexcusable in us. And he does call on us to forgive the inexcusable in other people. I have asked God for forgiveness, but I still feel ashamed and full of guilt. And that's a real problem. I'm going to spend a bit of time on this one. I think the first thing to say is, I think some level of shame is not necessarily a bad thing. So it's better than being self-righteous. You know, if you've got to fall off a donkey on one side or the other, fall off it in the side of having a little bit healthy shame rather than being self-righteous. Think of what's the most famous hymn of all time, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. What's the second line? That saved a wretch like me. And that was John Newton, the former slave, writing a wonderful hymn about forgiveness, but still with some sense of guilt. But I think the second is, well, what do we mean by full of guilt? Because you see, it seems to me that guilt's a word that can be used in different ways. Sometimes we think of guilt in terms of feelings of guilt. I feel guilty, and that's what we mean by guilt. It's probably what a psychologist means by guilt. However, if you go into a law court, that's not what they mean by guilt. You know, when a case has been heard and the judge turns the defendant and says, "I find you guilty," he's not saying, "I find that the defendant feels guilty." And in fact, in many cases, isn't it, people who are found guilty in law courts express no remorse and don't feel the least bit guilty. And of course, the other side of it can be, you know, some people feel irrational guilt about things that they're really not to blame for. So feelings of guilt and the reality of guilt are not necessarily on the same page. And I think part of what we need to understand here is that God forgives the actuality of our guilt. In Jesus Christ, he forgives the actuality of our guilt. And sometimes it may take a while for our feelings to catch up with that. And we need to educate our feelings on what God says to us in his word. You know, we need God's promise that I am forgiven. I can read it in the word. I need to memorize and hold on to that. God's promise. I'm exposing my feelings to the facts of the matter. And the facts of the matter are that God has forgiven me. And that is something I'm going to hold on to. But there's another level of this, I think, of a very tough prayer that sometimes we need to employ. And we direct that prayer against the evil one who's accusing us and against the voice of accusation in our own fallen nature. And that prayer goes like this. Who the hell do you think you are? How dare you? How dare you? How dare you accuse me of guilt? The judge of all the earth has declared me innocent. He has forgiven me, and he has reconciled himself to me through Jesus Christ. How dare you say I'm guilty? I'm not guilty. I am free because of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that tough prayer needs to be employed. I told X that I forgave him, but he didn't want to know. Now, obviously the context of this is, you know, X hasn't come to you and said, "Listen, I kind of really need your forgiveness." No, you've approached X to offer them your forgiveness. The thing is, was this really about forgiveness, or was it about something else? What was your motive? Did you want X to acknowledge that they had hurt you? So what you're really looking for is an admission of guilt by them. Did you feel that X was overlooking the fact that you were being forgiving and gracious to them, and you wanted them to acknowledge that? Whoa, thin ice, vanity. Blah. You know, I think often forgiveness has to do its work quietly and unobtrusively. You know, the reality is God will have forgiven me for things I didn't know I was doing and for things that I've long since forgotten about. And sometimes, you know, we need to offer the same grace to other people. And that needs to be done quietly, without a fuss. I have tried many, many times to forgive X, but the same old feelings of anger and hurt keep coming back. I think realistically that can be a real problem, isn't it? When there's been great hurt, the feelings can keep coming back. I think the first thing to say about that is that forgiveness doesn't start with our feelings. It starts with our will and our actions. We're choosing to forgive somebody, and we are acting in a way that shows that we're not holding something against them. We're not treating them less favorably because of what they did. We're not holding on to resentment. And if we act that way, and if we're asking God to help us, then we expect that our feelings will in due course come to order. But we are acting out of forgiveness. We are forgiving that person. We're choosing to say that we do not hold it against them. We're asking God to forgive that person. This is C.S. Lewis again. The real trouble with the duty of forgiveness is that you do it with all your might on Monday and then on fine Wednesday that it hasn't stayed put and has to be done all over again. And I mean, I think that does bring out that we are told absolutely to forgive other people. We're not necessarily told that will be easy. I think part of the context of this, it was a line in a letter from C.S. Lewis to a friend, was, and one example that Lewis gave of this was the doctor, I think a family friend, who had failed to diagnose cancer in Lewis's wife until it was too late. So they had opportunities that they should have taken and missed it. So forgiveness may be tough, and we may need to keep at it. And I sometimes wonder, is that one of the reasons that forgiveness is so prominent in the Lord's Prayer? Because both, you know, our request for forgiveness and our offering of forgiveness to others needs to be frequent, perhaps daily and habitual. You know, every day we're praying to God, Father, forgive me. And Father, forgive anybody else who may have hurt me. My other half is a serial adulterer. Do I have to forgive them? Do I have to stay with them? I think the first thing to say is that those are two questions, and they're two different questions, so they're not the same question. As to the first part, do I have to forgive them? The answer is yes. There are no exceptions to that. We are to forgive all who sin against us, and we are to forgive what is inexcusable in others, because God forgives what's inexcusable in us. So the answer to the first one is emphatically yes. But the second question is a different question, and I'm not at all sure that there's one answer that fits all circumstances. It may be right to leave in that situation. It may be right to say. It's not a question of forgiveness. It's a question of what's wise and right in the circumstances. Perhaps a slightly lighter one to finish on. Officer, you're a Christian. Please forgive me and don't give me a speeding ticket. Amen. But let's look at this one from the point of view of the officer. So we have an officer who's a Christian. And as a private citizen and as a Christian, they have a duty to God to forgive anyone who hurts them. So they have an absolute duty to forgive the hurt done to them personally. But as an officer who's got responsibility for upholding the law, for upholding rules, then they have a duty to do that. And that duty actually takes precedence when it's not dealing with their personal sin. And if you want the kind of authority for that, that's in Romans 13. But you know, and it doesn't just apply to police officers. You know, it can apply to parents, to teachers, to managers at work, to other people with a responsibility. So, you know, I can imagine a situation when, you know, a Christian manager managing somebody in the organization who's, you know, done something that would be classed as gross misconduct, saying to somebody, listen, insofar as you've hurt me personally, then I forgive you. But it's my duty as your manager to fire you on the grounds of your gross misconduct. And that's perfectly in line with Scripture. But anyway, let's spend a little bit of time in prayer, and I'm going to hand back to Jonathan after that. Father God, we thank you that you forgive us. And Lord, we invite you to inspect us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to hide anything behind excuses, especially not behind lame excuses, Lord. We want to expose even the tiniest of sins to your scrutiny. And Father, we thank you that you take what is inexcusable. You take those rats inside us, Lord, and you forgive the lot in Jesus Christ. And Father, we rejoice in your forgiveness. More than that, we take our stand on your forgiveness, Lord. We wrap ourselves in it. And we will wrap ourselves in it when we go to bed and when we get up in the morning, Lord. We'll wear it. We'll wear it closely, Lord, like underwear. We want to wear your forgiveness. To stand in the goodness, Lord, that you forgive us. that what has been, that what was inexcusable has been forgiven. But Lord, we understand from your word that that glorious gift comes with a very significant responsibility. And so, Lord, now we want to forgive anyone who has hurt us or hurt someone close to us, Lord. We want to offer the whole lot to you, to pray, Father, for your forgiveness. And Lord, we pray too that you would align our feelings, Father. You would bring our feelings into the right order, Lord, so that we would know what it is to be forgiven, and that would enter into our bloodstream. And Lord, also that any feelings of resentment that we've got against people would die away, Lord, confronted with the truth that we forgive and that you forgive. Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Word of testimony regarding what Chris has been talking about. Quite a long time ago, I was in a church and people were coming forward for prayer, and this lady came forward and I went to talk to her. And she was a very spiritual lady. She said, I play the guitar, I speak in tongues, but I'm not getting anything out of the worship. I can't get anything. It just seems dead to me. And I don't understand why. So in my mind I prayed, help, Lord. And then I just said to her, well, just tell me a little bit about yourself. She said, well, in my last church I had to leave it because there were two women who said some terrible, terrible things about me. And I just couldn't forgive them. People said to me, you've got to forgive them. She said, I can't. I just can't forgive them. So I said, well, then people were right. You have to forgive these people. Jesus forgave you from the cross. How can you not? Can't you say you're not going to forgive them? She said, well, I don't think I can. So I said, well, my advice to you is to go home and to pray and ask God to give you what you need to go and forgive these people. You see, the main reason I want to say that is because the unforgiveness in her was spoiling her life. It was spoiling her spiritual life and life. And she was being robbed until she came to a place where she was prepared to forgive them. The end of that story, and I'll just tell you the end because it's good. It was months later when she phoned me and just told me that, Jean, when I was at work this afternoon, this verse from Scripture came in my mind. And when soon I got home, I had to go and read it. And it was a verse from the Psalm in David when he's asking God for forgiveness for his wrongdoings. And she said, that's when it hit me. And I've asked God now, and I'm going to forgive these people.
So these things are challenging. Nobody said this was easy. Jesus didn't promise that life would be easy. I was just reminded of what Jesus said at that same sort of passage in Matthew that the Lord's Prayer is in, where he tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. You see, we talk about grace, and it's right that we talk about grace and love. But grace is about understanding of God's undeserved kindness to us. He wants us to share undeserved kindness with other people. You know, grace is not just a concept that we receive for ourselves. It actually has to be lived out in the way we are with other people. And this is tough. It's hard, and sometimes it takes time. But this morning, you know, if you want to respond in terms of saying, God, help me to love those who persecute me. Help those people who've oppressed me, those people who've hurt me. I want to get to a place of being released from this kind of prison that unforgiveness puts me in. You know, God doesn't want you to be in pain. He wants to make you free. He's come to set you free. because he loves you so much. But we have to respond. And, you know, one of the biggest problems of our generation is entitlement. We feel, you know, we're entitled to feel things about things. You know, we just need to learn, and it's tough, to love and to show grace. Lord, help us. Help us to respond as we worship. But if anyone wants prayer today or feels they want prayer, this will not magic away the issue, because in the end you'll have choices to make. But you're saying, God, I need to have that sense of being able to love. You know, please give me, you know, an appropriate, renew a right spirit within me, if you like. It's that kind of stuff. Then please feel free to come forward, because what you're confessing is, actually, I'm weak, Lord, and I'm struggling with this, and I just want your help. Now, that won't magic it away. Sorry to be so honest with you. There'll still be choices to make. Goodness me, if God is a God of grace, he wants to enable you to be able to follow, you know, what is good for you. And the reason why this is an important talk is because actually God is, I believe, laying foundations in our lives and in this church for this move of God that we're praying for, we're sensing that God is doing among us. You know, this is not a superficial thing. We've had enough superficiality in the church for the last umpteen years where we've replaced the presence of God and the power of God with lights and show and platform and faffing on. God wants to deal with our lives because he loves us. But it hurts sometimes. It's not always easy, is it? Lord, we come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I've found in you. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be swept away by the power of your love. Draw me close. Let your love surround me. Lord, I pray that we might just, those words of that song, Father, that are just echoed in my spirit now would be true for each one of us. Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses in me will be swept away in the power of your love. Lord, come. Lord, renew my mind. Let my will be conformed to your love, flowing from the grace that I've found in you.
Graham, can we sing "Then Must Be More Than This," please?
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Spirit of God, fall.
Somebody that comes to mind, just let's start with one person who you feel you've not forgiven, or that the God reminds you that you need to do, you know, do business with. I just want you to start praying for them. I want you to start praying for them like Jesus asked you to do. Just begin to start praying, maybe a blessing on their life, or, you know, for God to move on their lives, or, you know, for God to be with them. It could be a family member. It could be a neighbor, it could be a member of a church, it could be a church that you used to belong to, it could be this church. Can you begin there? By praying for those who persecuted you, or you feel have actually, you know, done something against you. Let's just do that quietly now. Don't have to mention names. Let's practically do that. Don't try to manufacture somebody if you haven't got anyone in mind. But for those of you who have, just begin to pray for them. Jesus, we pray blessing, Lord. We pray release. We pray for your presence to come into this situation, Lord. We pray for you to overrule in these situations, Lord. We pray for your love to conquer in this situation, Lord. We pray, Lord, for you to buy back what has been lost in this situation, Lord. We pray for redemption in this situation, Lord. We pray for the presence of God to be seen in this situation, Lord. Lord Jesus, come, Lord. Come, Lord, we pray. Come, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord, for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, passion for your name. Consuming fire, fan into flames, a passion for your name, Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. 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 Lord, have your way in us.
We had this word about people who were living in a sense of disappointment, or hope had been dampened because of what somebody had done or said to you. And that God wants you to relight that flame of hope and life in you that you felt had been taken from you. And I just want to encourage anyone who feels that. We don't need to know what the circumstances are, but if you want to come forward, we want to pray with you this morning. And you know, they're not coming forward just to sort of, like, you know, justify what I've said or whatever, but it's actually for your benefit of saying, God, I want you to revive that hope within me. So as we sing this next song, if you feel you need prayer for some issue like that, please feel free to come forward and people will pray with you. Thank you.
Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you are King. Standing here in the middle.
up with our praise. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your can stand against the Lord and against the praises of His saints? What can stand against the Lord and against the praises of His saints? Lift your banner high, God, our righteousness is coming to His temple. Lift your banner high, God, our righteousness is coming to His temple.
No words.
Jesus, we enthrone You. We proclaim You are standing in the midst of us. We raise You up with our praise. And as we worship, build Your throne. And as we worship, build Your throne. And as we worship, build Your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take Your place.
What can stand?
What can stand against the Lord and against the praises of His saints? What can stand against the Lord and against the praises of His saints? Lift your banner high, God, our righteousness is coming to His temple. Lift your banner high, God, our righteousness is coming to His temple. Jesus, we enthrone You. We proclaim You are King, standing here in the midst of us. We raise You up with our praise. Brought me to His banqueting table.
He brought me to His banqueting table.
And His banner over me is love. I am my beloved and He is mine.
I am my beloved and He is mine.
I am my beloved and He is mine.
And His banner over me is love.
Yes, His banner over me is love.
the love of God in this place. We believe your goodness, we receive your grace. We delight ourselves at your table, O God. You do all things well, just look at our life. He brought me to his banqueting table.
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 And his banner over me is love. I am my beloved's and he is mine.
My beloved and he is mine.
I am my beloved's and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. Yes, his banner over me is love. We can feel the love of God in this place. We believe your goodness, we receive your grace. We delight ourselves at your table, O God. You do all things well, just look at our lives. And we can feel the love of God in this place. We believe your goodness, we receive your grace. We delight ourselves at your table, O God. You do all things well, just look at our lives.
Please be aware at the end there are people being prayed for, and there'll be opportunity perhaps for you to still receive prayer if you want it. But we're going to close the meeting here with the grace. Shall we say the grace together? And even though it comes up on screen, for some reason, the last line and me are not friends. Here we go. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.